by the left turn line, a flag on his wheelchair flapping in the breeze, one leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him, the VA budget's just stretched so thin, and there's more coming back from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. That big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. You see those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just gonna sit there till they rot. Cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack. Just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square. There's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. The bar's still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender much to say. The regular crowd gets thinner each day. Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore. Jelly beans, let them. them eat cake, let them eat shit, whatever it takes. They can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore. You can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo, look us in the eye, call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the great high plains. It's done closed down along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.
Well, that's a long one, but it's a good one. It's the best hate song I've got. And to be perfectly honest, most of the people that is directed to are not non-whites. They're whites, you know, from Bush to Cheney to all the rats in Washington. So, you know, that's my, if you say, are you a hater? Oh, yeah, I'm a hater, all right. And I can give you a list of the ones I hate, you know. And I could care less what happens to those bastards. Okay, this is White Aryan Resistance Radio Network, and we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your letters, and that's where you send your donations for the radio show. And so forth and so on. And go to resist.com up there on the website and get a college education. Get a much better one than Harvard. I mean, Obama went to Harvard. Look how dumb he is about a lot of things. But he's not much dumber than most of those white guys that pretend they know all that shit. I watch them on TV and I just want to tear my teeth out. They think they're so goddamn smart, and they're not smart at all. They don't know basics of anything. Even the generals now that get on TV, they sound like a bunch of assholes. Schmedley Butler and Chesty Puller would probably line them up against the wall and shoot them all and start all over again. If I could pick a time when I thought the military started to go completely to hell, it would probably be the 50s. Yeah, when all the old-timers from World War II, a lot of them were getting out and retiring and so forth, and we got this new breed coming in, these social soldiers. Social soldiers. Try saying that a few times. I know when I was in basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, we had the old Mustangers, you know, that had been in Korea and all over the World War II and all over. We always respected those guys because they were tough, rough, and they let you know it. But you loved them because they were good, the good leaders. But the new ones coming on, officers, you had no respect for. They just did not attract respect at all. Number one, they'd tell you to do a 10-mile march in the summertime, and they'd sit in a safe Jeep with the air conditioner on. You know. I like the officers who used to say, "Now I'm going to show you how to do it, and God damn it, you get out there and do it just like me, because I'm going to do it perfectly." That's the kind of officers to respect. I think I've been forgetting to give the date on some of the shows lately. I've got to remember to do that. And today is the June the 22nd, 2016, all day. Got a very overcast day here in Indiana, but it's cool and nice. I enjoy it better than the blazing sun. Let me tell you about my problems. Yesterday, me and my buddy put in a new hot water heater here in the bunker for the house. And so I had the old water heater out in the yard. So I said, well, I'll just throw the old water heater on my little trailer with my tractor, with my little tractor, garden tractor, and pull it up the hill and be all right. I got halfway up the driveway and we put in some new rocks, and that thing just dug in and wouldn't go anyplace. So then I had problems getting in reverse. I couldn't get out of there. But I finally did by unhooking the trailer and disengaging. And so went out there this morning. I tied the chain to it, and I was going to drag it up the hill behind my van. And the van started spinning too, the wheels. So that's the second thing we tried. And I said, shit, this is getting to be a real pain in the ass, boys. So this morning I went out there and backed my van down and shoved the water heater, which I should have done in the first place, in the side door. And went right up the hill and got rid of it, and the guy already picked it up. I always put all these things free out in front of my house. And a lot of guys around here having a tough time with making a living, and they pick up scrap iron and all kinds of stuff. So every time I've got something that I don't need anymore, I just put it out front and put a sign on it, and that water tank was gone in 10 minutes. But that's my sad story, and it was hot and humid too in the whole deal. I thought I was being smart by putting those crushed rocks in on the driveway. I think that's the worst mistake I've made for a long time, man. Okay, that's my troubles. Now let's see how fucked up the world is. You know, at this point in phase two of the chaos factor, I think we're going to do a little switch here. Now, you don't have to tell your friends this or not, but I think it's time to support Hillary, because she's going to be worse. She'll be a real son of a bitch. And worse is better. And I think maybe we better use reverse psychology here, or some kind of psychology, and say, hell yes, put her in there. Watch what she does. She'll bring it down faster than Trump, because I don't think Trump's going to make it anyhow. But anyhow, what do you think about that? You think I'm a traitor to the race? No, sometimes worse is better. And in fact, right now, worse is really better. What do you think about all this bullshit about the guns? It's such a joke. It's so ridiculous. They got all the conservatives thinking they're going to pick up the guns every time something like this happens, and the progressives start talking about limiting your ability to do things with a gun, all the conservatives go crazy. Oh my God, they're going to be at your doorstep tomorrow. They're going to take all your guns. They're not going to take all your guns. They're not going to take your guns. But I never had an AR-15. I never had an AK-47 because other than revolting against the government, I couldn't see any other reason to have one. But that may be a good reason to have one. But anyhow, these guys don't seem to realize, these left-wingers or whatever you want to call them, they don't realize that there's many rifles out there that can do the same damage that the ones they're bitching about. I mean, a 30-06, man. I can hit things way off, baby, with a 30-06. And a 30-30, you can hit things way off. Put a telescopic sight on there, and no problem. Quit worrying about your guns, you know. these conservative right wingers, these militia types, they're always out, I got to get more guns, baby. I got to get more guns. And the next thing you hear them getting arrested, not from using a gun, but just having a gun. You know, yesterday I heard something about somebody was packing a gun in some crazy-ass place. It reminds me of the time when I was running the Klan and I had some of these U.S. Marines that were in the Klan with me. And you'd think they'd be sharp and know better. I got a call in the middle of the night, I think it was about 2 a.m., that two of my Klansmen had been arrested at Disneyland carrying 44 Magnums. 44, I thought I was having a nightmare, 44 Magnums. And they said how they got caught was that the barrels were so long they stuck out underneath their jackets on the side. About 2 inches of the damn barrel of 44 Magnum stuck out from under, so that Disneyland caught them. As I recall, we were lucky and got them off, and I don't think any of them were charged. But it was a crazy, and this is the mentality of much of your right wing. You know, they think that the revolution's starting tomorrow, and they're going to have 50 guns, and they're going to be manning all of them. How do you do that? How many guns can you shoot at one time? Anyhow, I have about as much problem with these guys on the right as on the left. The left go too far the other way, you know. Well, if we didn't have guns all over the place, nobody'd be killed. Nobody'd be keep getting killed. Yeah, right. Anyhow, like I said, you know what, with 300 million guns or whatever it is, it's impossible to get all the guns even if they went to a total dictatorship. Well, tomorrow's the big day over there in Britain where they can declare their independence, not really. Even if they get their independence from the EU, they're still under the thumb of a semi-dictatorship in England, the Bank of England and all that stuff. So even if you think you're going to get free, you're not going to be free, period. Any more than we're free. Free. That's a joke. That is a joke. But just for the hell of it, I hope they do break away from the EU. I hope the EU breaks in a million pieces. Just like I hope this country splits up into a bunch of states. Oh, we do have states. I mean, self-contained states where you can choose the state that makes you the happiest. You know, if they have a nigger state over here someplace, well, all the niggers go there. And they got a white state, well, all the white guys that want white go there. And just think how happy that would make people. Yeah, people that want race mixing, I don't know whether there'd be room in any state for those guys. You know, ship them to the, Dominican Republic or the Jamaica. There's always room for more niggers and white-worshipping types of niggers down there. I mean, of untouchables. I shouldn't say that N-word. I might get in trouble. Well, I heard this morning on this one black radio station, he had an imam on there making excuses for the Muslim con, because all these religions are con. They're all mythological. I don't care. You can say Islam, you can say Christianity, you can say Judaism. They're all fakes. And see, the problem is, when you have one religion primarily in a country, even though it's wacko, usually things can go along fairly well. But then you bring another religion in the country, and they start bumping heads and mixing things up, and starting mixed churches and all that kind of thing. Things go crazy. That's why you don't want these people bringing their religion into the country. You know? And another thing that pisses me off is these missionaries. Yeah, they go over like this one to Vietnam, the missionary. He started trying to do something in Vietnam, or North Korea, something that's against the law in North Korea. So he gets arrested and charged with espionage or something. Well, of course, that's their rules. When you go to the other man's country, you go by his rules or don't go. I wouldn't put up any money or anything to get a guy out of prison in North Korea that went over there to delude those people. They're probably, if they have a religion, it's probably more correct than the Christian religion. Or at least more honest. I don't know. Man, but all these missionaries, screw them if they get jacked up for doing disobeying the country's laws. Because the world is crawling with these missionaries. Crawling. And they're like military intelligence operation. They infiltrate countries and they try to change the government and everything to suit their religion. Mainly Christianity. Christianity is the worst. Now, you can say all you want about the Jews, but I don't see the Jews sending missionaries all over the place. I don't see that at all. Or standing on a street corner grabbing you by the suspenders. You got to become a kike like me. No. You got to become a Jesus freak like me. Otherwise, you're going plain straight to hell. I was scanning the radio frequencies around here yesterday. I think it was on my van. And I couldn't believe how many Christian radio stations are on here in the Midwest, on AM and FM, 24 hours a day. You can't turn that damn knob or punch that button hardly at all without running into another one. And, of course, they all got the answer. And they all need money because, you know, God's broke. He needs money. And if there was one thing I could do, one thing I'd like to do, is get to minimize these religious crooks that are all over the airwaves. Because you know that the main reason they're on there, even though it might not have been the beginning of why they're on there, but they turn into this, they want the money. Support our work, because we're sacrificing and we're being treated awful. You know, they're killing us right and left, these preachers. They're driving around in Cadillacs and living in $300,000 houses, some of them in $1 million houses. You know, Schuller up there in Orange County, California, he owned a whole island, man. But, you know, I guess as long as there's stupid people being born, they're going to be able to do that, you know. They get away with it because people are so goddamn stupid. Well, we're sitting here waiting on another big storm to come through. I'm not sure whether it's going to come or not. Sometimes, you know, we get more weather broadcasts around here than I ever saw in my life. They're almost as bad as the Christian radio programming on the radio and TV. Three or four stations all the time. Oh, the weather, the weather, the weather, the weather. How many times you got to tell me it's going to rain? I mean, I can see the clouds coming by, but these guys, that's all they talk about is the weather and football or basketball. These fanatics with sports, it drive me crazy. You try to go sit down at a bar and have a beer, and all you're hearing is bullshit. Oh, well, my team is wonderful, and your team is shit. And it's wonderful, and that nigger boy, he's a wonderful guy. He's the best guy going, and he's a hero, and boy, if he wants to marry my white daughter and my virgin daughter, that'd be okay, because he is great. They worship these niggers, sports leaders. They worship them like a god, with their lips hanging down and their dreadlocks hanging down. Jesus Christ. And you see them walking off the field with these beautiful white blonde broads, you know, cheerleaders. It's enough to gag a maggot.
Hey, thanks for watching us tonight. Terrorism in the American left. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Well, I finally figured it out. After thinking about it all weekend, I believe I now know why some committed left-wingers constantly diminish the terror threat from ISIS and other groups. Before I tell you the reason, I want to spotlight something that happened last week. Congressman Jim Clyburn, very liberal guy from South Carolina, put forth an amazing analysis of the Orlando terror attack, to which I replied.
This gentleman, it is now being revealed, had a lot of hate, and it seems that some of it was self-hate. And consequently, this is not about ISIS. This is not about any kind of foreign terror. This is about guns in America and whether or not we're going to have some kind of moderation to the Second Amendment, just as we have to the First Amendment.
He gets all, it's not about terrorism. It's about gun control. You know, and I just want to slap him with all due respect, you know. What is it going to take? Do the ISIS people have to come to your backyard? All right, do they have to put you in a cage? Because they will. Now, I use the slap line as a rhetorical device to show my displeasure. That was obvious unless you're a complete moron. But the crazy left websites who routinely mislead their readers played it up as an actual physical threat. A few hours later, the Congressional Black Caucus demanded an apology. I very politely said to them, come on a factor. We'll talk about it. I also invited Congressman Clyburn on as well. Guess what? They're hiding under their desks. I guess they're afraid I would slap them. So here's the deal. We researched the congressman, and we can find no mention of gun control in connection with the Chicago violence. None. This weekend, 13 more people shot to death in the Windy City, at least 43 others wounded, including a 3-year-old boy. That brings the total to about 1,800 human beings shot so far this year in Chicago. Paging Congressman Clyburn. Come on, if he were truly concerned about guns in America, he'd have to say at least something about his fellow African Americans being shot down in Chicago every single day, and it's been going on for years. He'd have to say something, would he not? Now, the reason Clyburn brought up guns in connection with Orlando is because the left in general doesn't want the American people to focus on the danger from ISIS overseas. That's a Muslim hate group. They don't want to bring Muslims in at all. It doesn't play into the narrative of the far left, who generally believe that America is the source of much of the trouble in the world. We're the problem. So they constantly push a point of view that demonizes the USA as a bad place, an unfair place. Forget about ISIS. It's all about America allowing guns to kill people. Refocusing the overseas terror problem on the USA is a strategy by the far left. Summing up, thousands of African Americans being gunned down by other African Americans in Chicago, which has very, very strict gun control laws. Yet Congressman Clyburn has no comment on that. Yet he has plenty to say about guns, not ISIS, being the real problem in Orlando. You make the call. And that's a memo.
Well, there he goes, Big Bill O'Reilly, making tons of money, probably a multimillionaire. Probably a multimillionaire. Many times over. But that's what all these bullshit artists get that are doing big time talk radio. Rush Scumbaugh, all of them. All of them. They're making plenty of dough. And when they retire, you'll never hear from them again. He wants to slap Representative Clyburn. Isn't that sort of a lady type thing, slapping him? Why not knocking his teeth out with your fist? But you never do that, would you, boy? You wouldn't do that to anybody. If somebody went after you, you'd cry like a baby, Big Bill. Well, we got a big problem out in Muscatine, Iowa. Facebook discussions of men in black standing alongside the roadways or in the ditches at night on Highway 22 east of Muscatine and other locations has led to the Muscatine County Sheriff's Department asking the public, come on, help us out. According to Sheriff C.J. Ryan, discussion of these men has been a regular occurrence on Facebook. However, no crimes have been reported in connection with the men. quote, obviously, it's a dangerous activity, and we don't want to see anyone get run over or injured in any other way, unquote. He said, well, they're standing in the ditches. How could they get hurt? Ryan also said he was concerned that the discussion on Facebook could lead to more perpetrators attempting to scare drivers on the road. Maybe they were just black guys standing in the ditch. That'd scare you. Quote, it may be juveniles just exercising poor judgment, thinking that this is a fun prank to engage in. With the proliferation of talk about this on Facebook, there may be several people engaging in this type of activity thing now, man, he said. Gee, we better get out to Muscatine with the Ghostbusters. He said the perpetrators could be charged, man. But what if they're from another planet? There are circumstances. Wait a minute. I got a dog giving me trouble here. He said the perpetrators could be charged. There are circumstances in which people could be charged criminally or held civilly responsible. Yeah. For their actions should someone get injured or property damaged in connection with this, the sheriff said. The department is asking the public to call 911 immediately if you see any someone in black uniforms in the ditches. Wow. There's a story for Coast to Coast. Boy, we got some Bonnie and Clyde stuff going on here. Also in Muscatine, Iowa. It was a sentence of life in prison for an Indiana man convicted of robbing a Muscatine bank in 2012. Thomas Alexander Davis III, 40, was sentenced by Chief United States District Court Judge John A. Jarvie on Thursday morning in U.S. District Court in Davenport, Iowa, to life imprisonment for bank robbery? Wow, man. The evidence at the trial in this case showed that on November 28, 2012, Davis entered the U.S. bank branch in Muscatine. He presented the teller with a black bag decorated with Angry Birds cartoon, demanded money, and displayed a handgun. A bank customer was also present at the counter during the robbery. The teller placed the U.S. bank cash in the bag. Davis fled the bank, escaping in a black Cadillac, driven by Stacy Fincher, also from Indiana. One of those lone wolf boys. David and Fincher drove back to Indiana. Davis was arrested on February 12, 2015, in Indiana. Seems like Indiana's furnishing the bank robbers for the Midwest here. On April 8, 2016... Fincher was sentenced to a deferred judgment in Muscatine County District Court after pleading guilty to conspiracy to commit a forcible felony. The jury found Davis guilty of the Muscatine robbery on February 11, 2016. He had been convicted in 1995 of an armed robbery in the Southern District of Indiana and robbery with a deadly weapon in Hancock, Indiana. At sentencing, the government presented evidence, including certified records and testimony from an FBI special agent, Indiana Deputy U.S. Marshal, an FBI Biometrics Division certified 10-print examiner, and the chief of police from Greenfield, Indiana. You know, Greenfield, Indiana's got the only place in the country. It's got a tree growing out of the top of the county courthouse. Yep. Still there. I went down and saw it when I was a kid. Big old tree growing right out of the top of the courthouse. Anyhow, he went down there to identify Davis as the person who committed these prior offenses because these two prior robbery convictions qualified as serious violent felonies. Under a federal sentencing statute, this third conviction for robbery of a U.S. bank branch in Muscatine mandated a sentence of life in prison. Davis was also ordered to serve 5 years supervised release, pay restitution, and $100 special assessment to the Crime Victims Fund. The case was investigated by the Fire Bureau of Investigation and the Muscatine Police Department and prosecuted by the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Well, they play rough over Muscatine. You're going to rob a bank, I'd say stay out of Muscatine. Maybe that's what all those guys in black standing in the ditches are about. Is that some kind of a omen for Muscatine? You're too mean. Here we go with another hot story. As we all know, Dylan Roof, 21, from Eastover, South Carolina, has been accused of killing 9 untouchables in the church. Officials say that Roof had been sitting in the back of the church 1 hour before he stood up, made some racist comments, and then opened fire at people around. The FBI Justice Department Attorney's Office opened a hate crime investigation. Despite his obvious hatred against black people, which he expressed regularly before the incident, Fox TV host Steve Doocy on one of the recent shows commented, quote, "Extraordinarily, they called it a hate crime," unquote, he said. And some look at it as, well, it's because he was a white guy, apparently, and a black church. But you made a great point just a moment ago about the hostility towards Christians. And it was in a church. So maybe that's what it's all about. Well, maybe it is what it's all about. There's a lot of people pissed off with Christians out there. Christ's insanity breeds hatred. Co-host Brian Kilmeade then also tried to promote this idea, asking a guest, quote, "Is it a church that has white congregants as well as black?" unquote. What surprises many listeners is why Fox TV didn't want to admit it was a racist hate crime when all the facts were right in front of them. Quote, "He made racist jokes, he wore patches and flags in racist states, and is alleged to have killed 9 people. The motive is mysterious," unquote, wrote Twitter user Hirjeet from Toronto, Canada. Well, that is obvious for every sane person. It isn't like that for Fox TV News. It is probably the most racist American channel, man. They're right up there with Tom Metzger. Terrible Tommy. Not surprising it is so popular in this country. I can't stand Fox. I watch Russia TV most of the time. There's no argument about this. Racism was the motivation for the shooter's actions. Duh. And it seems racism is the motivation for the white Fox News hosts when they claim that Charleston shooting wasn't a hate crime. Wow. It gets crazier and crazier, man. And here's one. Facebook video has caused Chicago police to open an internal investigation about police brutality. A 22-year-old black man, Robert Foreman, was attacked and brutalized by a Chicago police officer and then later charged with drinking in public and resisting arrest. I'm telling you, some of these cops are... Of course, we never know if this is a correct story, but some of these cops are too much. Well, here's another glorious victory by the wayward right wing. Robert Reitmeier up in Calgary. His bid for a reduction in his 13-year sentence for beating to death a bystander was tossed on Tuesday by a panel of justices. The neo-Nazi skinhead was seeking a sentence more in line with his co-defendant, Tyler Stirrup, who was handed a 10-year stint in prison after pleading guilty to fatally stomping Mark Mariani on October 3, 2010. Well, the question is, did the guy attack him? Were they walking down the street and is Mark Mariani attack him? Or did they just jump on a guy and beat him to death? You see, that's why the right wing can't get anywhere because, it's unbelievable. Sitting in the prisoner's box with an SS rune tattoo on his right cheek, Reitmeier showed little emotion when the Court of Queens Bench Justice Ronald Berger delivered the trio's unanimous ruling after only about 10 minutes of deliberation. Minutes earlier, the killer's lawyer, Kim Ross, argued that the disparity in the two men's sentence was unjust. The only difference between Mr. Stirrup and Mr. Reitmeier is Mr. Reitmeier exercised his constitutional right to a trial, said Ross. There's absolutely no evidence of any difference in the participation in the crime, he added. But during the hearing, the three justices voiced skepticism towards Ross's arguments, with Justice Martin, or Peter Martin, agreeing that the lawyer that nobody knows if the agreement to a 10-year sentence for Stirrup was just. Why should we make it the same mistake? Well, I'm telling you, man, during his 2011 trial, a court heard Stirrup and Reitner, 30, were painting a swastika on a wall in an alley at 16th Avenue and 15th Street Northwest when Mariana, 47, stumbled upon them and was savagely beaten. Well, number one, it's a waste of time putting things on the wall. Jesus Christ, can't you guys ever get that through your head? Now you're going to do, well, you're lucky. You're only doing 10 years down here. You'd be doing life, probably. But I keep having to, guys call me once in a while, and sometimes I even have a meeting, meet with somebody, have a cup of coffee, and they want to go out and put stuff all over the place and paint on the walls. I say, forget it. You're just opening yourself up to be grabbed by the cops, and then once they get you in the computer, that's it. Wear regular clothes. Be a regular person. Don't paint stuff on the walls. So just putting that swastika on the alley wall cost you 10 to 13 years in prison, which is, you're lucky. Plus, the guy you killed evidently was a white guy, because I saw his relatives on the TV. I'm telling you, that's why the right wing can't get anywhere. We found out years ago that playing games with your uniforms and your swastikas just doesn't work. And so, keep your mouth shut, burrow in, be a lone wolf, or operate with leaderless resistance in small cells, but don't get involved in this Mickey Mouse type activity that can lead to someone getting killed. I mean, look, if somebody came upon you and you were painting swastikas on a wall and he challenged you, well, yeah, you can punch him in the nose, I guess, but killing him, stomping him to death, Jesus. The other side love it. Morris Dees and the boys love that when that happens, because they more fuel to the fire, and they get more donations and make more millions of dollars because of stupid, 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 and most of it they're getting on the stormfront in places like that. Oh, I know, they'll deny it. They get together with these other guys and they start talking that crap, and next thing you know, they're in prison. But as I said before, they're damn lucky they were in Canada, because if they were down here, they'd really be doing time. What gripes me is this is decades after I told the skinheads to lay off, do it a different way, don't get into this kind of crap. I preached till I was blue in the face, but the right wing just kept encouraging that kind of activity. And don't tell me they didn't, because they did, and all these damn gatherings they get together and talk shit. And then the guys want to show how brave and bold they are, and away you go, so they don't listen. So, if you don't listen, boys, you've got to feel. I can show you the way, but if you don't want to take it, well, you're on your own. Here's another problem. Argentine buys at auction Hitler's uniform jacket for U.S. $312,000 and U.S. $47,500 for a Goring watch. A man from Argentina shelled out more than $676,000 this weekend in an auction selling the personal belongings for Adolf Hitler and his deputy Hermann Göring. The man who remained anonymous spent $312,000 alone on what is believed to be one of Hitler's last uniform jackets. Jeez. But if I were to ask this guy for $100 for the struggle and maybe help some prisoners and things like that, he'd say, "Get lost, idiot." Allegedly, the mysterious buyer showed up at the Hermann Göring Historica auction in Germany, dressed in dark clothes and wearing a baseball cap. Other items auctioned were a pair of Hitler's pants with leather pockets, X-rays after his assassination attempt in 1944, and the brass container from where Göring swallowed cyanide while awaiting trial in Nuremberg. The Argentine bidder also paid $47,500 for an aviator watch that belonged to Göring, as well as some of his silk underwear for $3,400. The controversial auction titled "Hitler and the Nazi Grandees, A Look into the Abyss of Evil" was closed to the press, but the German tabloid Bild sent an undercover reporter to the event, according to Reuters. Well, of course they would. The collection of 169 items auctioned over the weekend belonging to the late John K. Latimer, a U.S. Army doctor who was general medical officer during the Nuremberg trials. He must have been a little bit of a kook, too. The Argentine buyer took 56 of the 169 items, for which he paid a total approximately $676,000. Apparently, when the Bild reporter asked him who he was, the bidder declined to give his name and only said he came from Argentina. He used the number 888, Reuters said, evoking the neo-Nazi code 88 that marks the eighth letter of the alphabet and stands for the band greeting, Heil Hitler. Wow. The Guardian newspaper also reported that the Central Council of Jews in Germany filed a motion last week in an attempt to cancel the auctions, saying it was scandalous and disgusting to make money from Nazi relics unless they take the money and give it to the Jews. Yeah, then it's okay. Then it's okay. I want to be perfectly honest with you, boys and girls. I wouldn't give $676,000 if I had it for Jesus' jock strap. Oh, this guy wasn't planning to write about The Green Room, the intense new thriller movie which pits a punk band against neo-Nazi skinheads, in part because I caught the film's final Capital Region screening. But that was before Anton Yelchin, The Green Room's talented young star, died last weekend in a tragic accident. Yelchin is terrific as a cerebral, seemingly meek musician forced to fight for his life. He's the character viewers are the most likely to identify with and also to root for. Oh, he's probably a victim of the neo-Nazis. Yelchin is best known to audiences for playing Chekhov in the new Star Trek films. But he had been starring in films since childhood and leaves behind an interesting, diverse body of work. His performance in The Green Room deserves to be remembered, as does the film surrounding him, and I hope more people discover the film and Yelchin's character when the movie is released on DVD on July 12th. Well, that's past. No, that's not past. Green Room isn't for everyone. The film's bone-crunching violence and disturbing milieu aren't for the faint of heart. You know how those skinheads are, and those neo-Nazis. But people who like this sort of thing will like this film a lot. Oh, get all the skinheads together, have a beer bust. Yeah. Yelchin plays a member of a down-on-its-luck punk band called The Ain't Rights. Desperate for money, he and his bandmates accept a gig at a club for neo-Nazi skinheads in the dense woods of the Pacific Northwest. Well, obviously, that's where all the neo-Nazis gathered. I've even heard stories of Pastor Butler's ghost roaming the area. And that would be fun. There's nothing supernatural about this film, but the premise nevertheless resembles that of a horror movie. A series of bad decisions will strand our protagonist in an unforgiving outpost surrounded by people who want to kill them. As the story progresses, members of the band, spoiler alert, get picked off in gruesome ways, and the survivors must figure out how to fend off their attackers and escape. If there's any moral to this story, it is some gigs are too fraught with risk to accept, no matter how poor you are. The club appears menacing from the get-go, but the ain't rights don't seem to realize the trouble they're in because they're too stupid. Go into the North Woods, into a bar run by the neo-Nazis. Oh, man. They antagonize the crowd by playing a cover of the Dead Kennedys' Nazi punk fuck off and do everything they can to make it clear they're not on the board with the club's white supremacist agenda. Well, that's real smart. The horror begins when one of the band members forgets her phone in the club's green room. Pat Yelchin goes in to get it and stumbles upon a murder scene. It isn't long before the band members have been locked inside the green room, guarded by an imposing skinheads who ominously tells them, "We're not keeping you, you're just staying." It takes a little while, but eventually Pat and his bandmates realize the club owner has no intention of calling the cops or letting them go, and that they'll have to make a break for it. The owner's probably a Jew. Yeah. Oh, you don't think a Jew would do a lot of money, make a lot of money off things like that? Yeah. Jews will do almost anything, or some Jews, many Jews. A club owner, played by Patrick Stewart, is the scariest character in the film. I can't wait to see him. And it's a kick to see the man best known for playing Captain Picard play someone who is truly evil. I don't know how much research director Jeremy Saulnier did into the neo-Nazi culture before making this film, but the club and the people who populate it never seemed like characters or cartoons, which makes for an especially tense and frightening film. It's very scary. This is a scary place filled with scary folks, although it's not entirely bereft of humanity. Two club members, spoiler alert, proved to be unlikely allies. One of them is a young woman named Amber, who was friends with the murder victim, and the other a club employee named Gabe. How and why Amber and Gabe came to be involved in this neo-Nazi skinhead movement is a question that mostly goes unanswered, but their behavior suggests that redemption is possible even for the most lost souls. Yeah. Pat isn't as interesting as Amber and Gabe, but his story might be most compelling. If he wants to survive, Pat must summon a level of psychological, physical aggression completely outside his experience. He's never been violent before. In some ways, he's like Charles Bronson in Death Wish films. A liberal everyman who discovers the only way to respond to violence and killing is with violence and killing of his own. Yeltsin isn't imposing or strong. He's somewhat frail-looking, but he has a feral, coiled intensity that makes Pat's ingenuity under duress quite believable. You never doubt for a minute or a second that he wants to get out of the green room alive, and he does. It's a happy ending, forever undermined by the fact that the life of the actor who played him was cruelly cut short. Obviously, he was waylaid by neo-Nazis. I wonder if that rumor will get around. I can't wait to get that one, man. I'll tell you, that's going to be a real corker. Well, Suffolk County, New York, Police arrested Edward Prakowski on Thursday after the police allegedly found in a raid on his home items including tens of thousands of dollars in cash. Couldn't possibly be a lone wolf. Several guns and knives and ammunition, a bit of marijuana and illegal mushrooms, and some bomb-making instructions. Instructions, not bombs. Oh yeah, the town of Brookhaven condemned Prakowski's house to boot. This appears to be yet another example of a government crackdown on people for nonviolent actions. In this case, we have a convergence of the wars on cash, guns, and drugs, as well as the government's intolerance of free speech. Here's another important aspect of this story. Suffolk County Police Commissioner Tim Seney is stirring up fear that Prakowski and his brother Sean, who was also arrested, are dangerous because they are Nazis. The brothers might even have been planning a mass killing like we saw in Orlando, Florida last week, Seney suggests. The evidence for the brothers' supposed Nazism is apparently that Nazi flag, a framed photo of Adolf Hitler, and other materials related to Nazi ideas were found in the house. Boys and girls, don't do that. Don't have flags and shit all over your walls and stuff like that. Yeah, of course, the presence of such items in the house does not establish that any of the house's occupants subscribe to any particular ideology. Plenty of people interested in history have such items. Well, they better watch out. Plenty of American soldiers, after being deployed to Europe in World War II, returned to America with such items as well. Well, I know my uncle did when I was a little kid. He had a whole bunch of it in one of the houses we lived in. It was my grandmother's house. He had it all stored in the attic because I went up in the attic and looked it over. He had all kinds of Nazi stuff. In fact, Tanya Lopez reports on Newsday that relatives of Prakowski say the Nazi stuff belonged to Prakowski's grandfather, a World War II veteran, which is entirely possible. I'm just warning you, boys and girls, don't have that shit around, man, because they're going to jump on you and nail you to the wall just for having that stuff. But let us suppose Seney is right and the brothers are Nazis or neo-Nazis. So what? That is not a crime in America, even in Suffolk County. Neither is the fact that someone is a Nazi or a neo-Nazi reason to conclude that that person will take part in the initiation of force against anybody. Some people who call themselves Nazis rob, assault, and murder. Others do not. The same goes for people who call themselves communists, Republicans, Episcopalians, accountants, you name it. Nazis have rights just like everybody else. If we allow people like Seney to convince us otherwise, then we accept a premise that can be used to support the government disrespecting other people's rights as well, because these people or those people also hold any various beliefs about government officials can stir up fears. Well, that's the fairest coverage I've ever seen, or long time. It was published by the Ron Paul Institute, but it was got out of the newspapers there in New York. That's right. But still, no matter how many rights you're supposed to have, you're going to find they're going to nail you to the wall if you got that kind of shit around and have a whole file cabinet full of incriminating letters and evidence and things like that. I mean, you know. I remember at one time I had a bomb-making book around. I think I got rid of it a long time ago because I don't build bombs. That's not my thing, man. And if it was my thing, I know I would have been dead a long time ago because I would have forgot one of the steps and it would have blown up in my face. Yeah. Yeah. So stay away from that stuff, man. Someday, you know, come civil war or revolution, if it comes, or simply the heel of Big Brother stomping on your neck, you may have to resort to that kind of stuff, but not now. No, 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 no. It's a lose-lose situation. But I'll say this, it's not illegal to fantasize. Fantasizing is great. You know, you can sit on a bench in a park and fantasize anything you want. You can fantasize assassinations or no assassinations. You can do anything you want if you're just thinking about it.